This podcast was made possible by an anonymous Irvingtonian and by our primary sponsor, Artisan Realtors, your Irvington real estate source.
Welcome to Firehouse Irvington as we broadcast live from the beautiful Black Acre Brew Pub. We will be doing a show about the Black Acre moving forward. We appreciate everyone that's been enjoying Firehouse Irvington. It's been a story about inclusion as we look at great neighborhoods of the world. And of course, Irvington is more of a state of mind than it is a place of geography. But we have appreciated each and every guest that we've had on because they've been able to tell a different story about facets of Irvington as a city. We'd like to thank everybody who's been a supporter in the past. Our special guest today here at the Black Acre, and I appreciate you coming in, is Jeff Gildea. And Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You know, Jeff, you have an intriguing story. We've talked in the past about if you like history, at some point you need to become obsessive or nerd-like in your behaviors, because it's a little bit like anybody of us can trace something of interest to us. Like if you look back in your past and you said, I really like baseball, so I wanted to really investigate who all the teams were and the team owners and the cities they were in. I'm going to guess that your obsession began because you really loved Indiana high school basketball.
Well, I think if you're born in the state of Indiana, high school basketball is in your blood. If it's not, it's going to be. And of course, I grew up playing in youth leagues, in old gyms, old schools. And then my sister was 5 years ahead of me in high school, so I started going to high school games when I was 9 or 10.
Right.
And quickly started, you know, just falling in love with the local high school team.
And you and I know, as being lifelong Hoosiers, it's really difficult sometimes to explain to outsiders how basketball reigns supreme here in the state of Indiana. I grew up in northern Indiana, even though I've been long associated with Irvington. But growing up in northern Indiana, the junior high school gyms sometimes seated as much as 10,000 people in Elkhart, Indiana. So you said to yourself, obviously, we take it pretty darn seriously.
And I've actually been to some high school games in other states like Florida and Minnesota, and their gyms are like three rows of folding chairs.
Right.
You know, basically an elementary school type gym.
Yeah, and as you well know, too, high school football in schools that are not totally connected as they are in Ohio, Florida, and Texas, a high school football game in North Carolina means little or nothing, as you know. So it's interesting how Indiana has that distinction of high school basketball. And I thought it was interesting, with you being such a great historian, as you and I both know, if you look up something in history and you say, like, let's just pick a random fact. If you say the very first automobile that was ever made in Indianapolis was made at this address, if you go to that address, there may or may not be a big brick building. There may just be an empty lot. But that's kind of what, if I'm not mistaken, what kind of started your wonder of seeing where all these great high school gyms were. The history is there. It's either the buildings or whatever may or may not be there in the past. Is that accurate?
Well, I'll tell you how it started. Kyle Nedenreep of the Indianapolis Star had a front page story on old high school gyms, and he had picked out maybe 10 or 12 gyms, and that caught my eye, and I immediately had to go see those 10 or 12 gyms.
Right.
Then he put together a website with maybe 30 or 40 gyms. So it's like, oh, I've got to go see those 30 or 40. And then he wrote a book called Historic Hoosier Gyms with 100 gyms in the book. And to qualify to be in that book, you could not be a current high school gym.
Right.
You had to be a former high school gym.
Now, we have so many famous gyms here in Indiana, but these historical gyms that you speak of, when you went to them, were there gyms still there? Or has history been like, the school district redistrict and they tore down the gym? Or what did you find when you started looking up some of these great old gyms?
Well, of course, a couple of my favorites were the Wigwam in Anderson,
right,
and the Muncie Fieldhouse, and those were still being used at the time. And those, my jaw just dropped when I walked into those two places. It's like the seats seemed to climb up into the corners, into the dark, and you couldn't even see up into those corners. And then the hallways were just like a history museum of basketball. And then as far as other gyms, you could be just driving through the country, and there'd be no town, no high school, but an old dilapidated gym just sitting there still rotting away, and nobody had the heart to tear it down. And they don't have the money to tear it down now. So
that's been the lucky thing, hasn't it, that you've been able to discover some of these gyms, because for whatever reason, they sort of slipped off to the side. And as you said, well, we don't have the budget to tear it down, so we'll just leave it standing. And
well, what became my Bible was I found a document that the IHSAA had put out on school consolidation. And it listed all the current schools and then all the schools that consolidated to form those schools. And so I just started going out three or four counties at a time, six or seven counties at a time, every Saturday, every Sunday, and just go to every dot on the map just to see what I would find. I didn't know if anything would be there, so it was always a bonus to drive into a small town and see, oh, the old gym's still here.
When I had read what you did, it was very akin to, there's been a number of people that were very interested in the Carnegie libraries, mm-hmm. that Andrew Carnegie helped communities build those libraries. And there were several in the state of Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio, and a few other outlying states. But what they did was obviously went to every address, because Carnegie had kept meticulous records. In some cases, the library was there. In many cases, the library was not. Is that sort of what you found?
I mean, of course, I wasn't looking for Carnegie libraries, but they all kind of look the same. They're easy to spot, and there are quite a few still in Indiana. And then, of course, when I'm out on these road trips, I would see one-room schoolhouses, other old schools, old movie theaters, just a lot of nostalgic things that would catch your eyes.
You know, America has obviously changed very much, and in your search of all these great high school gyms, at the highest point, if you count past, present, you know, current gyms, how many total places were there here in the state of Indiana? Because I think this is sort of a staggering number. You know, pre-consolidation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How many high school basketball venues were there in the state of Indiana?
Well, I think I counted well over 1,200 former high schools that I had been
to. That's pretty impressive.
And that's only counting one per school name. For instance, there are still three high school gyms for Beech Grove High School still standing, and three in Newcastle. So who knows what the number was, 1,400 that I went to.
And that's a pretty staggering number.
And I counted 850 some gyms that I actually photographed.
And for those of us who live in the state of Indiana, you kind of think of the state as being very finite. Obviously, we have a state that's everything from, you know, the beaches of Lake Michigan all the way down to the Ohio River and, you know, states east and west of us. But with that much territory, you don't picture over 1,000 different gyms.
Well, if you take Huntington North High School, that's a consolidation of something like 14 to 16 high schools. So that's kind of what you're looking at around the state. Most of the high schools are a consolidation of 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 former high schools.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And were you able to sort of, you know, because obviously when schools are consolidated, we group things together. So were you able to kind of pull those apart one at a time and say, here's where this high school played their games and this is where this high school played their games? I mean, did you have a relatively satisfactory experience with that, or did you find sometimes that some of history just got knocked away?
Well, you kind of found by experience that a typical county might have 9 townships, and there'd be a high school in the dead center of each township. So if I had no information in front of me, I would just go to the dead center of the township and see what I found. And a lot of times I would ask people along the way, one of my funniest stories was I was up near, I believe, Angola, Indiana, and there was some high school, something township, and I didn't know where it was. And so all of a sudden, there's this farmer coming down the road in a gator, and I flagged him down. I said, "Do you know where such and such high school was or is?" He goes, "Yeah, I was the basketball coach at Angola High School for 35 years.
Wow.
So he was able to tell me exactly where it was.
He showed you exactly where
the gym was. What are the odds of that?
Now, in that particular case, was the gym still standing?
All there was a sign, a marker.
Just a sign or a marker. Yeah, that's the thing I found about history. If you say to yourself, I really enjoy, you know, whatever the pursuit of history, because everyone's got a different feel. You know, if you say, I want to go where this famous Civil War battle occurred, there may actually be a Walmart sitting right there in the middle of that battlefield.
And you learn to look for clues. Sometimes I would have a picture from 60 years ago of a high school, and the high school would have a sidewalk that led up to the front entrance.
Right.
Tree-lined on both sides. And chances are, if everything else is gone, those trees are still there, and maybe the wide sidewalk is still there. So sometimes you can just spot where the high school was.
And I've always felt like people that are interested in histories of things enjoy the fact of visiting the actual site itself because of the vibrational energy. So no matter whether you believe in psychic phenomena or whatever, did you feel like there was, if you will, sort of a little spiritual echo of basketball still at that site?
I took a lot of photos of empty lots, and people would ask me, why are you taking a picture of this patch of grass? But it's, whoops, I just had to do it.
Oh, no, absolutely. And did you feel, when you were at the actual site itself after your research, did you kind of have that sense of, hey, basketball went on here, whether the community realizes it or not?
Well, a lot of times when you see this gym out in the middle of nowhere, no town, no school, it's like, how could this have ever been a high school out here?
Right.
How did they have enough students? How did they have enough players to field a team? And on these road trips, you know, that was part of the fun of it, was getting out on the country roads and just seeing how the other half lives.
You literally were in probably every part of Indiana in a very rural sense. So that's kind of a cool experience in itself.
It literally was like going back in time to the 1950s.
That's so cool.
And I could just picture it in my mind, what it was like when it was popular, or when that town was still thriving.
I'm going to throw one out for you, just because this is sort of a personal thing for me. My grandfather and, I actually should say my uncle, moved to Rush County and famously lived in this little tiny town called Moscow, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And there was a Moscow gym and high school until there was a huge storm not too long ago, which knocked it asunder. But there were actual pictures that I saw with my own eyes that the Moscow high school gym actually had a number of basketball games there. And it was never a very big town at all. But I just found that fascinating, that here, in my opinion, driving down to go see him on Saturdays, that in the middle of nowhere, there was an actual high school basketball experience at that gym.
Yeah, I never got to see that gym. The tornado knocked it down before I ever got there. But it might have been in Kyle's book, or it was on his website. I just didn't get there in time, so they just have a marker there where it used to stand.
They actually set a marker in there because my uncle, after the gym got knocked down, got a chance to buy the property, and did, and was, you know, super cognizant of that was Moscow's history, that Moscow actually fielded a basketball team. And I just thought that was fascinating to me, because this is a burg that's in the middle of nowhere, but I'm going to guess it wouldn't surprise you at all, because out there in the hinterlands, township upon township, county upon county, there were so many gyms.
Oh, I've been driving on some back roads, a lot of dirt roads, a lot of gravel roads, down in river valleys, and I could hear the Deliverance theme song in the background. And it's like, oh, I hope I don't have car trouble here. I may be, they may not find me for days.
What has been, do you have a holy grail gym that you've never really been able to locate? Maybe you just knew the name of, that you're still trying to locate? Or have you been able to sort of, with your investigative skills, track down most of them?
I think off the top of my head, I've located everything on my list. Now, I haven't gotten inside quite a few.
Right.
But I think I've located all of them.
That's very cool. I was surprised at looking through some materials that you'd even identified a building that literally looked like a barn, as that's where somebody at one point, some poor high school somewhere, that was their basketball arena.
That was Little York High School down by Seymour, and it literally is a barn, and it was used for high school games from 1936 to 1947, and it's still standing there, and I think they just use it for storage. But
it's hard to believe that people would pull up to go watch basketball games. And what year was that? What year was that an active gym?
From 36 to 47.
So you're talking about, you know, people pulled up in their Fords and Chevys, parked, and went in and watched basketball games there. It's amazing. And you even wonder, at least I do, whatever happened to the floor of that basketball gym?
A lot of times the center circles will be saved,
right?
Either in some current high school or in the town bar. You know, some of the pieces of history will be saved. So they turn up in some places.
That's
sometimes
so
I find out about it later.
Now, have you saved any historic floor pieces from your search?
I've pulled up a few bricks from some, and actually, as I've posted my photos, I've had people say, oh, my grandmother went to that high school, and somehow I will get a brick to that family. That's happened a couple times. I went to Fairmount High School when they were tearing it down, where James Dean played basketball, and there's still snow on the ground, and the site where they had demolished the school was still surrounded by a fence, but outside of the fence there were some bricks buried in the dirt. Frozen ground. So I'm literally digging in out of the ground, hoping I can get out of town before somebody catches me.
I was going to say, you know, our love for history means that you might have to be actually doing a little digging at midnight. And, you know, you're hoping that it's for something positive, because digging at midnight can sometimes get you arrested here in the state of Indiana.
Another story along those lines. I've been to a number of regional and semi-state games at Seymour High School. It's a 7,000-plus seat gym. But the old gym is still standing as you're coming into town on the way to the new high school. And it was always vacant, never anybody around. Well, one day we were leaving a basketball game at the new high school, and I saw that the door was standing open. And there was a truck or something outside. They were inside doing some work. So I told my driver, pull over, here's our chance. And so I had to run up a flight of stairs with water leaking on my head from the leaky roof. And you get to the top of the stairs and you can take pictures down into the gym.
That's very cool.
And now, as I ran back to the car, another car had pulled up behind ours and said, did you get in? So it was somebody else that had that same
There's
passion.
Obviously other history. We call them history nerds on the show, because obviously it creates some obsessive compulsive behaviors. But I'm a big fan. So when you go into the old Seymour Gym, is there still a basketball court there?
There's
or
a court,
is it just the layout?
The court is still there. All the stands are still there. But the floor has been damaged by water leakage.
I see.
So I don't know if somebody is trying to repair that, or what they're doing with it.
But that's how history goes. And I'm not sure you can confirm or deny this, because I thought it was one of the great stories. As you know, here in Indiana, we've always battled daylight savings time. We've even battled whether we should be on Central or Eastern time. I'm sure you've heard all the stories. But there was supposedly a gym in College Corner, Indiana,
right,
where the actual center line of the gym was the state line. Now, have you been able to confirm if that's a true story or not?
I've been there. the principal actually met us there on a Saturday and let us in.
Cool.
And there's an Ohio entrance to the school and an Indiana entrance. And the center court line goes right down middle.
The center state court line. And I'd always heard that what was famous about that school was, like every gymnasium in high school, they've got the wall clock up. And the wall clocks, during certain times of the year, because of daylight savings for the East Coast, the wall clocks were set an hour difference. So on one side of the court, it was 7:30, but on the other side of the court, it was 8:30.
I always wondered, would somebody, instead of having a 10-second violation, have an hour and 10-second violation?
Hour and 10 seconds. So, yeah, I just always thought that was such a great story. I'm glad that you've confirmed that, because I went to college just down the road from there, and that's what everyone told me, and I thought, that is either the greatest story in Indiana or that's the most far-fetched story on the planet. But either way, it made for a heck of a story.
It's also interesting how they fund the school, because some of the funds have to come from Ohio and some from Indiana.
Right. You know, it's interesting to note, if you look here in the state of Indiana where we have so many riches, and people tend to just look within the community that they live in, they don't... Even if they have other parts of Indiana that they're fans of, you don't think in terms of, hey, how is the courthouse doing in Clinton County? Or how's the courthouse doing in Rush County? Or how's the courthouse here and there? You probably know this. In the last few years, there's been some discussion about some counties can no longer maintain their courthouses, whether even if they're being used for courthouse duty or not. And that's a sad story about these great structures that were built in the state of Indiana. So I'm going to guess in some of these more obscure counties, and Switzerland County and those counties come to mind, that when you went to go do your research, these were cases where they could no longer keep up the maintenance on these high school gyms.
Right, but if they have an option of where to put their dollars, they're going to save the gym before they save other buildings in town.
So the courthouse may crumble, but the gym will remain.
One of the smallest high schools in Indiana, and I can't think of the name of it right now, up in northern Indiana, they're trying to avoid consolidating.
Right.
So they'll have bake sales and all sorts of things to help fund the school.
Well, I grew up, even though I have strong ties to Irvington, I grew up in Elkhart, Indiana. And Elkhart famously only had one high school for many years. Mm-hmm. Then they had, as their population grew, they had two high schools. Apparently, their population has contracted just enough. They're thinking of closing that second high school.
That's going to happen, and it's going to be the 10th largest high school in the state once that's done.
So there you go. So that's kind of what happens with history. So when you go back and take a look at where some of these gyms were, and and my brain is old, but I cannot remember where Elkhart Memorial played their high school basketball games, and you may know.
They probably all played their games in the big gym, whatever it's called, seats over 7,000. It was actually the biggest high school gym in the world from 1954 to 1959.
At Elkhart Central, correct. And Central had an interesting thing, too, where they had a huge high school downtown. Mm-hmm. But as the downtown expanded, they tore that high school down. And I think their original gym was in the downtown location, and they moved it out to the more suburban location.
It's kind of interesting. In some towns, they will build a new high school. Connersville's an example. And they'll build a gym at the new high school, but they'll only use it for practice. And they still want to go downtown and play in the legendary gym downtown at the old high school.
When we talk about legendary gyms, we think, as you said, you mentioned very early on, the Wigwam in Anderson. That is a building that's facing an uncertain future. Is that accurate?
I don't know what the current status of it is. It may have been sold, but at least in the early stories I read about it, they were going to have a stipulation that whoever bought it would have to open it for, let's say, 4 basketball events per year.
Right.
So they wanted to keep that alive.
Well, and you and I both know, too, these gym structures we're talking about obviously had to house a basketball court, had to house the stands, had to have been tall enough, you know. Though I'm going to guess you bumped into a couple gyms where it didn't have particularly high ceilings, which makes you wonder how those shots arced in from way outside.
I forget the name of the town up around Kokomo, but the high school gym was on the second floor of the town bar.
Ah.
And the ceiling was literally 13, 14 feet.
Holy
cow.
So
you couldn't arch your shot.
No.
And at the end of a fast break, some of the players would have their legs dangling out the second floor window if they got fouled on a fast break.
And they never lost a game.
Oh, my.
Probably not.
And that's a pretty amazing location to build the gym above a bar. Yeah. You almost wonder what school board member got that pushed through. Probably the guy that really enjoyed that bar, don't you think?
Right.
That's pretty amazing. So as you go through all this, you said you visited. Are there any sites that you have yet to visit? Because, you know, you're throughout the years. And how many years have you been doing this?
Well, Kyle first wrote his story, I'm guessing, in 2009. So that's really when I started doing it. Of course, I think I had been in the Knightstown gym before then. For me, it really kicked off around 2009, I think.
So almost 10 years of doing this. And you said you have visited every site that you need to see, or there are still some sites that remain holy grail sites that you still need to get to?
I think I've been everywhere, but the mistake I made at the beginning was going out on a Saturday or Sunday, because so many of these gyms have been repurposed as elementary school gyms, businesses, homes, flea markets, what have you. And if I would go out on a weekday, they'd be open, and I could have gotten inside. So I've made return trips to many of these gyms.
So in the state of Indiana, to the best of your knowledge, what is the most oddly repurposed gym? Because as you said, some of these just got used for different purposes.
Well, there's one in Terre Haute that's a home for unwed mothers.
But now, that might have happened during regular basketball season, but you're saying now it's a home for unwed mothers.
But there have actually been people who are living in gyms, have turned them into their homes.
And I guess it's a little bit like, you know, when you read about people repurposing like a missile silo. I could almost picture you with the history knowledge that you have. You know, have you thought about trying to locate a gym that you could turn into your home?
No. But I have a friend who's always interested in purchasing a scoreboard. So every time I go to a gym or every time he goes with me, he's been on a lot of these road trips with me.
Actually,
he's always looking to acquire a scoreboard.
You raise a great point. To the best of your knowledge, timeline-wise, when did the scoreboards that we would recognize as scoreboards, did those start coming in the 50s and 60s?
I really don't know on that one.
But
I think the first electronic scoreboard was down in Owensville, Indiana.
Okay.
So
your point's well taken. These scoreboards and the actual centerpiece of that floor had to have gone somewhere. Sometimes they probably just escaped into history. But have you seen a lot of these scoreboards from these old gyms?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, even growing up, I played in gyms where they still had the clock.
Right.
And you never knew what. Is there a minute 10 left in the game or 10 seconds?
Right.
You couldn't, you know, in the heat of the game, you couldn't really look at the clock like that.
Well, with my basketball career extending only to junior high school basketball, I was still impressed, even in northern Indiana, how really small and odd some of the gyms that we played in that were there. Because, as you said, the old original Indiana blueprint, was you either had a gym that you would recognize today, or there were many gyms that were like almost arena-like gyms where the stands were on the almost second floor, and you played on the court below.
Right.
And those always struck me as a way throwback to like the 20s and 30s.
And of course, a lot of the gyms aren't regulation length, and so they'll have a double 10-second line.
Right.
So
some of the gyms, if you go out of bounds, you might get a dental injury.
There are a lot of gyms where you get about 2 feet after the end line.
And, you know,
And a lot of times spectators would be sitting in those 2 feet.
Sure. And, of course, you know, the locker rooms for some of those old elderly gyms were pretty primitive.
I've been down in some of those. Are pretty spooky.
Yeah.
The shower facilities leave a little bit to be desired. Like
medieval.
One shower head for the whole team.
Sure. Everybody line up. You got to get back on the bus, one shower head, don't push. Yeah, absolutely.
No, thanks, I'll just get on the bus, I'll shower when I get home.
what is the one in all your travels, what's the one gym that you search for that once you got there, it was the biggest disappointment?
Wow. I haven't really thought about that. You know, even though the wigwam is incredible on the inside, on the outside, it just looks like a shopping center. It's just a big square brick building. So it's kind of disappointing on the outside. But then again, it's not really that old. It was built in 1961,
right,
when the old wigwam had burned down. So it's, other than that, I have never really thought about that.
What's interesting you said that, because if the original wigwam burned down in 61, the school board probably couldn't spend much money hiring a great architect or anything like that. It was almost like, hey, let's just hire the guy that built the last 10 school buildings for us. Everything from the, you know, the place where we store the tractor at the football field, let's just have that architect build the outside of the wigwam, because I'm with you. I've seen the outside of the wigwam, and it's a little disappointing.
And it's sometimes a gym is hard to photograph. The Newcastle Fieldhouse or the Huntingburg Gym, both huge gyms, but they're so flat. And unless I could climb a building somewhere nearby, I can't really get a good picture of it.
Right.
But back to another point, why are there so many large gyms in Indiana? Well, back in the day, the town that had the largest gym got to host the sectional.
Ah.
And of course, home team seems to get a lot of calls in the sectionals. So a lot of the gyms were built in the 30s with Works Progress Administration money, and they would have to sell the idea that they wanted that money for a community center. So they couldn't say, oh, it's for a gym. They had to sell them on the idea that it was a community center.
That was interesting. You brushed up against some of the Works Project Administration buildings, because if you do a super diligent search in Indianapolis for Works Project Administration, very little information, which is ironic because we have had a number of amazing structures here in central Indiana built by WPA. One of them, highly visible example, is the Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds, which is an amazing building. In fact, when they rebuilt that, the designing architects that rebuilt that said that the measurements inside, that it was built with such precision, are only off by a 16th of an inch. And the guy said, we've never seen that with this big of a structure.
Wow.
So the WPA, obviously very busy. And are there a number of WPA gyms still standing?
Oh, lots.
And are those scattered throughout the state, or
yes,
just around major cities?
Everywhere.
And the WPA, as you know, was I hate to use the word scheme, but it was an opportunity to put people to work. And like you said, they left a lasting legacy, but yet very little is recorded. I mean, how did you even find out that these buildings were built by the WPA?
Most of them have a cornerstone
that
says Works Progress Administration.
Yeah, so these were young men all over the Midwest who came and learned building skills. And are any of them still being used as active gyms?
I would think so. There are gyms still being used that were built in the 20s. Rushville's gym is one of them. Washington Catholic, built in the 20s. So there are a lot still from the 30s.
So we've gone from, you know, and from your research and actually visiting all these gyms, over 1,000 gyms here in the state of Indiana. But how many current high school gyms do we have today?
Well, I think in the state tournament, we're down to 400 some teams.
Okay. So there's about an 800 gym differential between here's what things could be and then here's what they are today. That's very good. Well, I know that there's been at least one book written about this. Are there going to be more books written about the high school gym saga?
Well, actually, there was another book maybe 10 years before Kyle's book called Hoosier Temples. And so those are the two best ones. Whether anybody will do another one, I don't know.
Have you been pursued about writing a book?
I've been pressured, cajoled. But, you know, Kyle's my friend, and I could never do the quality of work that he did.
Well,
mine would have to be a picture book for your coffee table.
Well, I think it's so interesting to read about somebody that was just, you know, on their own initiative, was just compelled to visit as many high school gym sites as you were, because it is a fascinating saga about a state where, I don't know, perhaps the most important thing in our state is arguing over daylight savings time and high school basketball.
Well, another thing about the popularity of high school basketball here is we have, it was, you know, it's changed, but back in the 40s and 50s, this was such a farming state.
Yes.
And those farmers and farm towns needed something to do during the winter. So that's one of the reasons basketball became so popular in Indiana.
Well, and you probably know, in many northern states and in Canada, you say, why did you produce so many great hockey players? Well, it's like, believe me, in this town, you know, after November, there's nothing to do for about 3 months. So, yes, we had some darn good hockey players. So we've been very fortunate here in Indiana, where inexplicably we have become and still remain the basketball capital of the world. Well, Jeff, it was a pleasure talking to you. And I know there's been a recent article about you in the Indianapolis Star. And I'm really glad that you took time out today to talk about this, because it's a, I am fascinated by people who get obsessed about history. And that's where I'm guessing you went from an interest to an obsession.
In fact, I have several obsessions. And sometimes with some of my travel partners, I will tease them about what my next obsession is going to be. Like, oh, look, old motels.
Old motels.
Barns. Old churches.
You know, see, there you
which,
go.
You know, I have no intention of doing, but you well, should see the look in their eyes.
Sure. The state is big enough, so your next obsession could come up at any time, couldn't right. it? You could go visit all the old elm trees in the state of Indiana. They're all out there awaiting discovery. That's terrific.
That's just why I end up doing a lot of my road trips alone.
Oh, my daughter used to be my partner in crime for my my historic obsessions, mostly around canals. Can't figure that one out. But the fact that she's still speaking to me, and ironically, we're doing this show on Father's Day, is a testament to I must have just been obsessive enough and not overly obsessive. So.
Of course, when I went out in the summertime to do this, I had 15 hours of daylight, and I would use all 15 hours. And my buddy who would go out with me would say, well, let's go in and have a sit-down lunch. This is kind of an iconic little town restaurant. I go,
right.
No, we don't have time.
We can't
that visit. Would cost us four gyms.
That's right. We can't. We can't visit this cool diner. We need to go find more gyms. That's perfect. Well, Jeff, thanks again for joining us. The show is, of course, Firehouse Irvington. I'd like to thank everybody who helps us do this show. Jeff, our guest today, we'd like to thank the Black Acre for hosting this. Kevin Friedley, our producer. You can find us on radioforthepeople.com, and we'll be back in Irvington for another exciting edition of Firehouse Irvington. Thank you very much.